Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In this special episode, we welcome in the amazing Chris Williams. Chris Williams is a dedicated father of two wonderful boys and a loving husband. As an entrepreneur and operating manager, he oversees the operations of a foundry, showcasing his expertise in the realm of manufacturing. With a passion for hands-on work, Chris thrives in the dynamic environment of the foundry, embodying the essence of manly man's work. However, Chris's journey hasn't been without its challenges. He openly acknowledges that he's not perfect and has made mistakes in the past, including engaging in abusive behavior. Chris has faced and addressed issues of mental, emotional, and physical abuse, recognizing the harm caused by his actions. Through introspection and a commitment to change, Chris has embarked on a journey of personal growth and redemption. Despite his past shortcomings, Chris is dedicated to becoming a better person and strives to make positive contributions to his family, community, and himself. He finds fulfillment in family life, cherishing moments spent with his loved ones. In addition to his roles as a father and husband, Chris is deeply involved in his community as a youth basketball and football coach, mentoring and shaping the next generation of athletes. His journey of self-improvement and commitment to healing exemplifies his resilience and determination. So, Chris Williams, brother, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on the show, man. Thanks for coming on.
An honor. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate this whole experience.
Yeah, man, and what an experience. You know, I was saying to you just before recording, like, I just have that beautiful memory of meeting you the first time. And I mean, like, clock time, that ain't so long ago. How long ago was that, Chris? Like, that first intro call with me?
8 weeks.
8 weeks. Like, I mean, it's no time at all. And yet there's this weird thing that happens in deep men's work. It's like, I feel like I know you, like one of my brothers, like 5 or 10 years. Is like, I know this man, you know. It's like I go to battle with Chris Williams and it's only 8 weeks. Can you, before we jump in there, Chris, because it's like yourself, your unique sacred situation with your queen, of course, guys listening in, they're like you, they're like me, you know, just a few short years ago, where it comes up in the dashboard of her life. Oh, alert, alert, you know, red flashing light, marriage, you know, marriage troubles, we got to sort our shit out. Yet there's the key passage of time. What my curiosity is what are the dominoes that knocked over, that you had to knock over in your life growing up, where, you know, through the intensity of those key moments, made you the man that you are today, that sort of carved out this persona, this powerful man that, you know, I've had the honor and privilege of meeting about 8 weeks ago. What are those key dominoes in your life growing up that were instrumental for you looking back?
So I, growing up, we were what I would call the richest of the poor people. We didn't have a lot. We weren't necessarily poor living out on the streets, but I can remember living paycheck to paycheck, my lights getting turned off, you know, not having food, or my dad being like, oh yeah, go ahead, you guys eat. I grew up with five brothers. We had four brothers that were both mom and dad. And then I had a brother who was from another marriage, situationship, whatever you want to call it nowadays. And it was rough. My dad was a single father. He was the hardest working man that I've ever met in my life. He would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he wouldn't come home most nights until 6 or 7 at night. So it was basically me and my brothers raising each other. We didn't have a lot. I didn't have any positive role models in my life growing up. I grew up in the inner city. I grew up around the drugs and you know, all these different things. And the men that I emulated were the men I seen on TV. As I got older, I wanted to be those men. I got into situations where, you know, I was abusive. I was very emotionally damaged. Then I met my wife and things started to change. I felt like for the first time in my life, I felt loved. I felt cared for. But I was still broken. And she really went into a self-help for herself because she was broken too. You know, you often hear broken people find broken people. And that I think was the biggest truth for me. Now looking back on it, I thought everything that I was doing, I was emulating, I was, you know, I'm going out, I'm providing, I'm making sure everything is where it's supposed to be. I want to use that phrase. I wanted to give my kids everything that I didn't have. And in the process of that, I gave them things, but I wasn't able to be emotionally intelligent.
My
And
curiosity, the curiosity that I have in that, well, there's multiple curiosities, but who were these guys that you were looking at emulating? Because it's such a key thing as young boys, young men. It's like, you know, we do have this spiritual drive of, if dad isn't doing it, if I don't have brothers in the neighborhood, we do have that beautiful psychological need to go, well, I lock in on somebody that I admire. But who are these guys that you were seeing in society and culture? Who are those men?
I was looking up to rappers. I was looking up to people who were not necessarily the right people to look up to. I remember there was one person in particular in our neighborhood that he always had a flashy car. He always had, you know, nice clothes on. He always had all the women. He was a business owner, but we didn't know he was also, you know, the drug kingpin of the half of the East Coast. And he was somebody that I really looked up to, and he kind of took me under his wing and was like, listen, you got to do this and you got to do that. I mean, I started probably seeing the actual drug trade when I was about 12. So my dad actually was in jail for drugs as a little kid. And it was just one of those things. But he was also a business owner. He was working. He was trying to provide for four kids and then a bonus child. So it was always something where I was like, man, I gotta provide, 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 provide. And then I watched TV shows growing up. We watched like the Jeffersons, you know, and different American TV shows for all your they'll get the references. But then I watched shows like I remember coming home and there were like the Bundys, you know, Al Bundy. He went home, he was a shoe salesman, you know, different people that I grew up watching, and I'm like, oh man, these guys are happy. Now looking back at it, I'm like, yeah, these fucking guys were miserable. What in the hell am I watching?
Al Bundy is one guy in TV depiction that I've mentioned in several episodes. It's like I was watching the same show and it's like it's funny as fuck. You're like this grumpy bastard coming home. He always has, but it's like there's just yeah, it's the understatement of the year to say Al Bundy is not the masculine role model a young man need. But it's all pervasive. Is this like, I don't know, my experience of Al Bundy looking back is humorous as fuck, clearly. It's a comedy. So it's like it makes the abject struggle of the man at home where there's very little respect for his masculine core. You know, it's like it's that's the one grief I have. I don't know, touch base with you. Like when I look back, I'm like, I was laughing to all of that shit. And Homer Simpson for me is another one. It's like Homer Simpson is the bundling fool. I mean, he's so fucking stupid. The only thing that's charming about him is how he actually carves out some bit of dignity somehow through such levels of stupidity. Like nobody respects him. He's and Marge is like the poor suffering woman where, you know, she could have went for the bright lights, but she sort of, you know, sticks to the task of this bundling fool. And man, that brings up a lot of grief for me. I don't know what, like when you look back and go, yeah, for years you're looking at these social depictions of masculinity. Like what comes up for you when you look back and go, yeah, that was conditioning my mindset as a man, as a future husband, etc.
So as a kid, now I didn't really go into the mother portion of this, and reason being, my mom was not in my life, so I didn't have. When my dad came out of jail, he took all four of us from my mom. My mom was out on drugs. She basically didn't want us. We would see her, and as I got older, I started to realize that we were less important to her than the streets were. So now that's on my mom's side. Now, growing up watching the Al Bundys and that it would drive me crazy because that's what we did. We'd come home, my mom would be there, and we'd watch, you know, all these foolish shows. As I got to about 12, I started watching like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, and Uncle Phil was like the ultimate man. You know, he was able to talk to people. He was able to, and I felt like as a kid, that was unattainable for us. You wanted to get to that stature, that level, and you're like, oh my God, like I want to be in that big house. I want to be part of that upper echelon of people. You know, he's dealing with judges and lawyers, and oh man, if his nephew or his son gets in trouble, they're playing basketball and something happens, and with a snap of a finger, he can change that for them. And then I started looking for that in my community. I started looking for those guys, and those guys ended up being the guys who were the movers and the shakers in our community. I never was into the going to the church. I had bad experiences in the church. I had bad experiences in a lot of different aspects of my life looking back now. And it wasn't until very recently that I really went back and said, oh, this is why. These are the different things. But it was extremely hard for me to look at my life and go, man, you should be grateful. Like you hear all the time. And for me personally, it's one of the words that drives me insane when people use it and they don't know what it means. When somebody says humble, like for the longest time, I heard you got to be humble. Or come from humble beginnings, or, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, you would never tell a homeless person to be humble. You would never tell a person who has been through so much to be humble when you don't know what they're going through. So I hear oftentimes, you know, older people tell me, oh man, you got to be humble. Okay. That just turned my ego upside down, and I'd go, oh, fuck that. Humble, I'll show you humble. And then I'd go full force, and it would be really, really not a good thing.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like that whole humble conversation. Oh, you got to have humility. There was a big part of my persona going, fuck you, dudes. Like, fuck you and your word. Go fuck yourself. If like, how's that working for you? Get out of my way. Let me on with my life. And I totally, it's like, yeah. And I suppose when I look back, I'm like, the people that were saying it, ultimately, I didn't have a respect. Ultimately, it's like, okay, you're telling me something, but you're not embodying anything off this. I speak about that. You probably know I really bring it into heroic husbands and like fucking humility the whole time. But it's heroic humiliation. I just loved when I get to the root of a word, it just fucking switches something on me. It's like, okay, cool. There's 99.9999% ignorance out there. I want to know what the word means. And it's that humus, humility comes from humus, the ground of truth of where you're at. There's zero shame in it, which like flies in the face of 99.999% of the shit that I was hearing and I think you were hearing. It's like that humility, like go fuck yourself. I'm not going to put myself down, but it's like, ah, hold on. Ground it true to where I'm at. Okay. I can work with that. There's something fucking nourishing about that. I can, if that's humility, I can practice that shit.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Now, where I'm at now, it would be humble. You check your ego at the door. Like that's something that I put above my living room door as soon as you walk in my house. Check your ego at the door. We came from hard times and we're here now, but we can't dwell on those hard times. And I think oftentimes we as men will beat ourselves up about what we could have, should have, and would have done, and we get stuck. When you are able to look at it and go, all right, moving forward, what can I do? And it's so easy to say it, and doing this type of work and having these conversations with other powerful kings, I'm like, it is possible. It's definitely possible. I tell you, 8 weeks ago, there was no, I was like, oh my God. Nah, yeah, there's no way. There's no way I'm turning this around. And
Give
8 weeks.
take the guys listening in. Clearly, you've shared with me one on one and in the group, but build a context to the guys listening in where you were at. Like your queen was putting it up to you. That was, there was the what do you call it in mountain, like the north face of the Eiger, and you were at the bottom, and she was saying, okay, dude, you got a
Yeah,
lot of climbing.
I was looking up at Mount Everest with no shoes on. When I think about it, I was really in a bad place. So we've been married for 12 years. It'll be 13 in May. And I was mentally, physically, and emotionally abusive. I have no growing up, that's what I saw, that's what I learned. That's what I did. 8 weeks ago, it's probably been more than 8 weeks, probably about since January. I got into my feelings and I started walking around like looking for other women. And it wasn't to cheat. Understand, the intention wasn't for me to cheat. The intention was to see if I could. And I got caught up. I made a mistake. I got caught up, and I wasn't being who I genuinely was. I was look. I had that persona back up. I put all my guards back up, and I went right back to what I knew. And she came to me and said, "Listen, it started. We'd have little arguments back and forth, and they would be the stupidest arguments to me. And one of the things that I always would say to her was." Something, this is stupid. This is dumb. Not hearing her, not feeling her, not, I didn't want to hear it. At this point, I'm giving you everything that I felt I had. Like we say, our 10 out of 10 best. And it was nothing that she was looking for. Nothing. I was completely shut off. She would say, oh, why can't you take the, or can you take the dog out? And I'd be like, what the fuck? Why can't you take the dog out? Like, going and they're trivial arguments when you look at them from the 50,000 foot view. But when you're zoned in completely and you take all the bullshit away, that's a big deal. I mean, I don't know what she was going through. I don't know what she was feeling. I don't know. In those moments, I was just like, snap back, quick, snap back. And she said to me, listen, this is it. She went and talked to an attorney and was like, I'm moving out. You have until this date to get your shit together, or I'm leaving. I'm taking the boys and I'm leaving.
Wow.
Immediately, my defenses came up. Oh, you're not taking my fucking kids. Now, growing up the way that I did, my dad took my brothers from my mom. You're not taking my kids. Automatically, that protective pathway came up and said, nope. It don't matter if the marriage don't work. She's not taking your boys. And then I started to realize we got into a fight over this past summer, a big fight. And my 11-year-old son had to make a choice. He had to make a choice between me and his mom. And when the police were involved, and he said, I don't feel safe with my dad. It ripped me to shreds. It destroyed me. My youngest son, he didn't really have a knowledge of it, but my older son is really in tune with, all right, I'm not safe, and he's very vocal.
It's a powerful trait he's taken from his dad. He's vocal, man. He's a powerful
Too
voice.
vocal sometimes. He's too vocal sometimes. He's very vocal. He is one of those kids that you're like, wow. And then I sat I after that night, my wife left. She went to stay with her mom. I was sleeping on the couch, and the kids were sleeping in my room. And they were like, Dad, we want to just sleep in your room, but we don't want you to sleep in here with us. And that was I was like, And it's funny because my youngest son is not very vocal, but I started this habit of having conversations with him because they make it so fucking simple. So simple. He doesn't care. He's like, Dad, why don't you just go tell mom sorry?
Oh man, it's so true. It's I've been that's been one of the major kick-ass again bringing up that sacred humility going it is that simple. Like my girls, oh man, they'll just land it and I'm like since I've started truly honoring their wisdom, they tell me more and more but it's like oh fuck, they cut through my bullshit like one sentence. I'm like they've just fucking grounded Big King, big podcast. Oh, you're like, I'm so important. It's like one sentence and you're just fucking back to, you gotta start from ground zero, man. I love
Yeah.
that.
And it definitely it started changing. I've always listened to podcasts. I noticed depending on the type of music I'm listening to is my mood. My whole day is predicated on that type of thing. If I'm watching TV shows that are, going into their entertainment, but I can see myself in those shows. And then my youngest son, we started having more and more conversations. Just one-on-one time, 15 minutes. And one of the things that we like to do now is read stories to him. But before he goes to bed, he talks and talks and talks. And so I'm like, Jesus, oh my God, I can't take it anymore. And it's the simplest things. Like she would read to them every day to get to know who they were. I didn't know who my kids were. And then it hit me. When he said that to me, it really stung. And I was like, I gotta make a change. I gotta do something. I don't know what it is, and I know that I've said it 1,000 times to them. I have no idea, but I have to do something. And then now looking back on it, it's the same thing that my wife has been telling me from the beginning. Do something. You'll sit there and you'll go, oh, I'm changing. You're listening to these podcasts. You're watching these shows. You're doing all this. You look in my closet. I got 4,590 relationship books. Read them all. Didn't implement a single fucking word. Nothing. You know, I got a whole library of books. Like I remember we were driving somewhere one time and she was driving and I was reading a book, and it was actually the Five Love Languages book. And I was like, ah, this is easy. Great intention, very, very, very shitty execution. I go out and buy her flowers, or I go out and buy her a car, or I go out and buy her a house. Like, these were all things that she didn't want, and it was added stress. My love language is gifts. Hers isn't. And then when I started to realize that the changes that I needed to make were the simple things, the way that I talk, the way that I think, and saying it is easy part. It's easy to say, you got to think differently. Yo, you just got to, it's damn near impossible to do. Then you get into the social media stuff. And you hear, oh, you're a narcissist. I had no idea what the word was until a couple months ago. Like, I just kept hearing, oh, well, you're narcissistic. You're a piece of shit. And I'm like, man, that's social media bullshit. These are people making this shit up. They don't know what they're talking about. Of course they're able to sit there. And then you start to realize there's some truth when you start to look inside. There's a lot of truth. And I started making changes. And then one day I was driving down the road by myself on a 4.5 hour journey to nowhere. And I hear this guy on there, weird, funny voice. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? And I just sat there and I heard something. And it was, I had to re-listen to it because I couldn't understand what you were saying. And then I was like, oh my God, hold on, let me dig deeper into this. And I went on a 14-day spiritual just listen to Mark podcast and see what this guy's saying. And there was a lot of stuff where I got very emotional by myself. I sat with myself and got very, very emotional.
What were the key parts? Because every guy listening in, clearly guys are listening in. So every guy has his own unique, you know, parts and reasons, multiple or maybe just one core thing. What were those unique parts of the message that were just piercing through the persona, the bullshit? And we all have bullshit, but that was piercing and getting to your heart and soul.
So it was actually the first podcast that I listened to was about meditation. You did it was an early podcast, and it was about meditation and doing deep men's work. And I had heard about it, and I've been in the sports world for my entire life, and I'd see guys meditating and just clearing their mind and really thinking about who they were. And it was a particular, I can't remember which episode it was because there's so many of them that I've listened to now that I'm like, wow. Like, and it was the episode I remember you were talking about your story. You drove your wife into the arms of another man. And I had a similar situation where my wife told me, she said, I'm talking to other people. And I was just like, what? Like, we're married. And I was holding on to this piece of paper. This we're married. Like, through thick and thin, you know, our vows are till death do us part. And I live, look, goddamn it, you're till death do us part. One of us is leaving in a body bag, damn it. and I'm sitting here and I'm like, and I'm hearing you go, be vulnerable. And I didn't know how to do that. And I'm like, this guy is pouring his heart out to no one. to absolutely no one. And think, I remember thinking to myself as I'm driving, I was like, if I can talk to one person, it would be him, because I want to know how he did that. Mm. How are you able to literally go from my wife's in the arms of another man to, yo, get your shit together. Get your shit together. And it was then I said, I remember hearing it at the end of the call. I was like, oh, he's got a sales pitch. You know, everybody, he's got a sales pitch. Let me talk to him. And then, so I had anticipated calling in and speaking to, you know, a representative. And it was you. And I got to ask those questions directly to you. Mm. And you called me out within, I don't know what it was, 30 seconds of the call. You were like, cut the shit, man. I was like, wow. Like this is what I need. This is what's going to change everything. Everyone is telling me, you can't do it. You can't do it. Abusive relationships never work. You know, therapy is gonna be the ultimate thing. One of the things that my queen kept telling me was, I am not going to couples therapy. Mm. And for almost a year, I was like, listen, we got to go to couples therapy. We got to go to couples therapy. And it wasn't until I pulled back the layers, I realized that 83% of marriages who are in couples therapy end up in divorce. And she had heard that. And that stuck with her. And that was the only thing that she heard.
Yeah.
4-hour podcast. And the only thing that she heard in the entire thing was 83% of marriages end up in divorce. And that wasn't what she wanted. We didn't get married to get divorced. We got married to be together, to build something strong. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I jumped in and I said, what do I got to lose? He might tell me no. All right. It won't be the first time. It won't be the last time. And we sat there. We had that initial call. And I was like, damn. Like, I was immediately, you called me out. I was like, oh, now I got to get him back. I got to get this son of a bitch back. Somehow, some way, I'm going to get him back. You know, I was like, he called me out. You know, that protective pathway as a man, you want to, when somebody calls you out on your shit, immediately the guards go up. Mm. And then I listened to the sword and the spear and the shield. Mm. And I made that decision. I said, yo, you know what? Let me try this out. Mm. And it's been a whirlwind. You know, I came in and the first week I was flying high. I was like, oh yeah, this is easy. The second week I got punched in the gut.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. And one of my accountability buddy, he goes, look, we all have been through it. He said, but is it something that you're willing to do? And I said, yes. And he said, why? And he just left it there. We sat looking eye to eye and he was like, why? Why? And that question has been the most curious question that I have come across now. Why? The way we show up, why? I wasn't ready to go back to my childhood and say, these were the reasons, this is the things that I learned. You know, it was always, this is who I am. This is my persona. This is that mask that I've put on, you know? And now I can sit there and really go, why? Why? Why am I doing this?
And what was the answer? And it's almost, I'm cognizant that there mightn't be an answer. That's like this omnipresent why. I totally get that. I've had that like a thousand times, thousands of times. I've said it to you guys and on the podcast. It's like my protective pathways. When my queen goes super intense and maybe, I don't know, mix if I'm fucking tired, tough day, intense day, holding space for men around the world, whatever, like just a mixed bag of stuff comes in my nervous system and I'm just not resourcing that moment. And then the feminine shitstorm comes from whore. Oh, you're always, like that classic feminine, you're always late, you're always not doing it. It's like, ah, oh, but I am. And I get caught in my own storm. When the four horses of the apocalypse come through my mind, and like they fucking do, to trample into town, old protective pathways, they're still there, still there. They're a little bit, they're definitely less often, more often than not, less intense than before. But I still have moments when, oh my fucking God, and it's like to my queen, baby, I just gotta go outside. Nothing that's coming through my nervous system is healthy. Now, I'm not speaking to anything. And what I'm meaning to her, and she knows, she actually really respects that I do that. It's like, I know there's those moments when it's all blame. And I go out and it can be 10, it can be 20 minutes where I'm just playing. It seems like everything in my head is like, just why the fuck are you taking this shit? Like, oh, that's there she fucking goes again. And it's just blabbering away and I'm just like breathing in, breathing in. But underneath it all, every time, like verbally, or I think it's more energetically, intentionally, like even in the unspoken inside world, there's why. Why are you doing this, Mark? Why are you a husband? Why are you a dad? Why are you alive? So I really just want to share that with you and the guys listening in. Like that, like why are you doing it, man? Why? It just that grounds me. That gets me back into, okay, you're a fucking mountain. This is the storm. Get back in the storm, dude. What's been coming through you? Like, why are you doing it? Like, in the intensity of everything that marriage, parenting, family life fucking bombards at you and life in general, what's the answer that's coming through? Why?
And I can keep it really short. It's worth it. It's worth it. For a long time, I didn't think I was, or it was worth it. And coming to the realization that it is, that it's 100% worth everything that you're giving. I played sports at a high level, and we all wanted to get to that penultimate, as kids, you want to make it to the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, soccer over in your country. You want to be, and then you look at, for me, it was football. And it was, I got to make it to the championship. Why? That stature, that really selfishness. Why do I want it to work? Because I'm selfish. That would be my why. And that is, you hear all the time, your why has to be so big that it makes you cry. And for me, being worth it is worthy of that. It makes everything make sense. I am worth it. My kids are worth it. My queen is worth it. It all just, that's the reasoning. Why do I wake up every day and come to work? Why do I, it's worth it. Why is it worth it? Because I get paid to do it. Now, in marriage, we don't get paid necessarily. Some people might, but hey, that's up to you. But you do, because as you grow with somebody, the knowledge is worth it. Your marriage might not work the first time, it might not work the second time, but you gain some kind of knowledge from those if you want to take the knowledge. If you don't take it, it's worthless. But then that goes back to, it's worth it. What's worth it for you?
Yeah, I'm really, it's such a beautiful. I was like, Hey man, the answer could be massive. You're like, I have it in one sentence. I love that crystallization, that wisdom. Like it's worth it, and just it gets it all. I know myself when you say those words, I'm like, yeah, not from those words, but yeah, I get the heart essence of that. It's always worth it. And yet I look back, Chris, and like for my first 12 years of marriage, it's also interesting just to parallel 12 years in marriage, your queen, 12 years. There must be some sacred shit going on at the 12-year mark. That's it. Fucking break down or break through. But
Everybody used I, when they would ask me, "Oh, how long you've been married?" I've been married for 12 years. I've been getting divorced for 11. It's a funny thing, but realistically, you put that out there, and that's what happens.
Yeah, it's a mindset, and it's like that. What we in Heroic Husbands men circles, we like there's heroic husband mentality, conscious king, or boy bitch. I know it's like my boy bitch. It's always in question. Why the fuck are you doing this? Why are you putting up with this shit? Why do you always have to do so much? Why are you having to do all the work in this marriage to transform it? Like the level of fucking arrogance in that part is like it's by default not worth the effort. And yet there is that beautiful point as a man. I know for me, like I literally just naturally hands on my heart when I go, it's like there's well multiple points, I suppose energetically, it's like a deepening of it. But when you take it all on your spiritual shoulders and go, you know what? The fuck am I blaming my queen for what she's not doing? Where does that get me? Why the fuck am I shaming myself? Like my kids by extension and life and my parents and what was done or not done. It's like all of this shit. It's like, what if you just assume the entirety of it? And I really empathize with guys because I'm seeing myself and my old self again and again. Like, your story is like we didn't like who, we had Al Bundy to emulate. Like, what the fuck? Do you know what I mean? Like, or Homer Simpson, or it's just this feeling of it's so infinitely worth it, but not having men there to go. To represent this is possible. I know when I was there in the beginning, and I was going to men's work groups for years, I was struggling to find a guy where I could go, I want to emulate you. I literally was like, cool, the do the emotional stuff to do, like shadow work, fuck, I've learned tons. I've like what I'm doing now is built on these fine men. I struggled to find one man where I could go, if I aim consciously to emulate you, I'm good in my marriage. I really struggled. I'm like, whoa. I struggled to find a guy that was so front and center proud of, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, I've got a king and a kingdom, and I like that's front and center. I wear my heart and soul. And hence Heroic Husbands was birthed.
And that's the thing, right? So we go in with a shotgun with birdshot in it and try to aim at a quarter. We may or we may not hit it. But when I think about like a sharpshooter, they're a mile and a half away and they're able to, hit an apple. We didn't have any aim. We had aim, we knew in the general direction, but we didn't have that aim. And I think that's where, when I heard the podcast, I was like, that's the aim. That is the aim.
So riding off, and I absolutely love that metaphor. That's fucking, I'm gonna be robbing that
Yeah, don't try
completely going forward. Like,
it.
yeah, no, back around. Well, I mentioned Chris Williams. No, that's the this is Mark. This is Mark's genius zone.
Trademark, trademark.
Trademark, get on quick, dude. So going with that, like shotgun, just fucking bang out whatever amount of lead balls, you'll hit something. to sharpshooting. I know you have in an exceptionally short period of time. I mean, it's 2 months in Heroic Husband's Men's Circle. You've been creating from your queen going, hey, that's the lawyer, ring it through, this shit is happening, I'm taking your kids, you know, you've till that date to sort your shit. You start listening to podcasts, you have that call, you go, fuck it, let's do it. So you jump in the group and you learn sharpshooting, precision. What are the things that you have learned and most importantly, implemented and used in the fire when you're facing your queen and your kids that for you is like, okay, this is sharpshooting. This is like when I do this, things started coming around. What's your version of that, Chris?
So for me, and excuse me, I want to word this so that people can understand it. I like to keep everything really simple, but a lot of times I over emulate everything. For me, it was, you don't know shit. Everything that you've learned has to be changed. Everything from the way you talk to the way you think to the way you implement things. Something as simple as the way you answer a simple question. Listen, I was very reactive. Very reactive. So when I would hear something, I would react instead of respond to what was going on. And then I started looking up the terms, the things that I really thought about. Responsibility. You're responding. You're not reacting. It's not called reactivity, it's called responsibility. You know, the ability to respond. If you say to me, yo, go build me a bridge. All right. I don't know how to bridge. I got to go learn it. My wife tells me, go get help. Oh, yeah. All right. Whatever. But that was the reaction. The response part comes from listening, taking it in. Doing whatever my brain does with it, because a lot of times it comes in and then it comes out way worse than it was. And going, okay, what is she really asking for? What is it that makes her tick? She's not telling me things because she wants to see me do bad. She's giving me all this feedback. Take it and respond to it. Don't react. Very often we'd get into arguments, and it was because she'd say something, I didn't like it, I'm responding. I'm reacting right to whatever she's saying, right in the moment. Didn't even think about it. Before she would finish the sentence, I already had my ammunition. The biggest thing that I think has changed is I now listen to it. I don't respond at all. I take it in and then I respond. This is what I'm hearing. And it might be completely different than what she's saying. Most times it's completely different than what she's saying. You know, and realizing that I'm not in this alone. Like, we are a unit, you know. Teamwork. She's helping me. She has a place. I have a place. We got to work together. Otherwise, we're a bunch of individuals, and that never works. Never works.
Oh man, it that bunch of individuals It was My Queen Matilda. There recently, she just really said, she teared up, and she was. I was like, "What's up?" I could really feel. She's like really, really dropping in. It's like, Mark, it's just like for the first time, on every level, we're coming from the same hymn sheet. It's like it was the one thing. It's like all the years. It's like it always seemed like you had one vision and I had a different. It's like I just never thought we could come together. And like I'm at this four and a half years, like really, I was like, whoa. It's like, and it's that beautiful nurturing. So like I open hearted, like I just teared up back my eyes when you said that. It's like, oh man, that's to have your queen, it's king and queen again. And I remind guys, I use the word king. There's a like king has a queen. But it's easy to give that lip service. It's like king and queen. It's like it's together, not lost. A fucking king is a fucking king. Queen is a fucking queen. Of course, the individual, but it's like that togetherness is there. So I just really want to like honor your words coming through and really emotion. Just share that deep emotional. Both myself and Matilda, we were in just tears of joy, going, yeah, this is fucking beautiful. That togetherness. But you're experiencing this after 2 months. I'm like,
Catch up.
catching up, man. I
Catch
know,
up.
I know you're one of the guys in the movement that I gotta be. My persona has gotta fucking work fast because you're like, you have the same. I think I've said that to you, but I hear a lot of guys, talk about, oh, persona's bad and ego is bad. You want to get over ego. It's like, no, I want to keep my ego in check. But my ego, persona, whatever the fuck you want to call it, part of myself, I notice this parallel thing with you. It's like I'm the youngest of three brothers, but there's that competitive part. It's like that part, hey, unchecked, it's a monster because it's competitive with everything. I could never be humble with my queen. I could never be humble with my kids, et cetera, et cetera. But that part goes into a space and it's like, okay, if I'm in a men's circle, nobody's going to outgun my vulnerability. No fucker here. I can fucking promise you. You fucking say that, I'm going to outshine you. I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to go deeper where you're all going to end this circle looking at me going, man, I wish I was as vulnerable as him. I'm like, just learn the fucking rules and outfox everybody. That was my childhood. Two older brothers. I had to like tackle harder, score more goals, do better tricks with the football, you name it, ride the bike. But you've got that competitive thing going. Yeah, Mark. 4 years, man. That's slow fucking work. 2 months, man. Get up to speed, Mark. Get up to speed.
It's great because I'm the oldest of five. So there was an expectation there that, you have to be, I got to be a parent. I got to be an all-star athlete. I got to be everything that everyone said that I couldn't be. I mean, I was held to a very high standard. At the same time, I didn't have any aim. I had zero aim. And that's the one thing that I really try to instill in my kids now. You got to aim. You got to aim. It's one of those things where we think about it and it seems so easy. It's not easy. And my second weekend, I was like, man, I don't know. But I went back to that competitiveness and said, I have to do better than, and that's really what it was. I see these guys, I'm hearing, their stories, and I'm like, man, why isn't my queen responding this way? These guys, they're 4 weeks in. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Man, he's talking about, yeah, he turned his whole life around in 4 weeks. I gotta catch up. And I really put my head down and went all in. And that term for me means so much. All in. It means the world to me. I've mentioned it in the circles before. I have tattoos all over my body. And when I was 15, I got one on my back that says comfort equals failure. And you laughed at me. You said, it's on the wrong side. It's on my back. You can't see it. And I have one on my ribs that say, sometimes everything has to fall apart to come together. And I feel like that's at the place where I'm at. Everything fell apart. My job, my marriage, my relationship with all of my siblings, everything. It just all fell apart. And I said, you know what? The foundation is not strong. There's a foundation there, but it's not strong. So I have to rebuild every single aspect of this house and create a home. And it started with me.
It's such a key point, because it's like my heart, with this movement, and this is why I'm bringing powerful men like so much respect and honoring for you and the other guys. I don't want me to be leading this movement. Of course, I do the fucking background, like put the podcast up, et cetera, et cetera. Of course. But I want this movement to be the guys that are doing the work in it. So the guys at home can go, it's very easy to hide behind. It's okay for Mark. He's doing the podcast. He does this shit like 24/7. It's okay for him. I've got a much busier life. I totally get it. I totally get it. This is like a conscious part strategy going, no, I want fucking Chris Williams coming in. Dwayne from our group coming in. Dean's been on. Anthony has been on. It's like the group is together. What? Is it 3 months? Forget three, maybe 3.5 months. It's like it's an insanely short period of time. And already all you guys, you're popping up. But that part, for I really have a deep grief, Chris, because I know me before coming to men's work. I had like signed up to an email list of like the my initial group. I knew, some part of me knew, like what you're saying, it's like there was an intuitive part going, if I go in here, nothing is ever going to be the same again. I sort of knew, it's like these guys intuitively. It wasn't a conscious consideration. It was like, oh, I'll sign up, but I didn't pull the trigger. Funnily enough, year and a half later, my queen falling in love with a different guy, like it's breakdown, breakthrough. Funnily enough, I just root out that email. Where the fuck is that email? There was some fucking men's group shit here. It was like, come on. But it was really that fear inside of me and that deep shame where, what you're saying is like facing that reality of, you got to change not just 2% of how you're showing up, Mark. You got to rip this shit apart. Ground zero. Dig into the foundations, rebuild the fuckers, and from there. But there's going to be, I think there's that intuition that's going to be painful. But I just, you bringing up that point. It's like for guys listening in, yeah. It's true. It is true. Slowly but surely. But everything that's good, using your words, everything that is worth it in life, love, excitement, passion, fucking feeling good about yourself, like rebuild the foundation so your nervous system can allow fucking self-love and acceptance come in. So then from there, you can love and be present and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's such a key thing. I really want guys to hear that. And what was it? The most important part of this, Chris, for me is from your experience of it, coming in, as you said, with persona, with all of this fucking competitiveness, like Mark calls you out, how do I fucking hit him before the end of this call? That persona, we all have that defensive part coming in. What has it been? What is it about the circle of men that you now have in your life? What is it about that culture that 3 times a month when you show up, it allows you find space within yourself to do the deconstruction, but obviously, find a foundation to move forward with confidence, with courage, with feeling in your power. What is happening in your experience?
The thing that I really appreciate about doing this work is I'm not doing it alone. I'm not on this island rebuilding with sticks. I mean, we're bringing tree trunks. Every man is going through something. And I mean, in our group, I feel like I might be one of the younger guys, and them having that experience, now I have somebody to look up to and say, okay, I made this mistake. Don't do it. I did this. Don't do it. I did this. It worked. Try it. And then being able where when we all talk to use the knowledge that I have and even give some words of wisdom that, it's elementary stuff for us. We're living it. But that one thing that you might say or you might hear from someone and you're like, it's that aha moment where you're like, I can be vulnerable. I mean, in the beginning of this call, very vulnerable. I was someone who I remember saying it in our initial call, I'm not emotional. And that's where you called me out and you said, we've been on the phone for 30 seconds. Your hands are moving around, your head's moving around, you're get fucking real. You're very emotional. The only emotion that I had shown was anger. And now realizing that there are other moments that I've just put in those little compartments. We'll store them away for later. We'll put them away. And going, all right, my number one goal was to be happy. And I've been truly happy now. Not to say that I'm not angry, I'm not frustrated, I'm not sad. But those emotions didn't come out. Those emotions were, they were put in a box and then saved for later. I might never feel them again. And anger, being able to hear the stories. All right, this is how I dealt with this. And maybe it didn't go this way because of, and then being able to sit back and look and say, and we talk about it, the out of body experience. Looking from afar, that 50,000 foot view, what would you have done differently if you could have? I say it to my kids all the time. The only time you make a mistake is when you don't learn from it. If you don't learn from it, then it doesn't matter. You keep doing the same thing over and over. That's the definition of insanity. And really hearing from the other guys that we've made this mistake and we're here, we're gonna help you, we're gonna guide you through it. It's been the most powerful thing, the most powerful thing.
Oh man, it's so beautiful to witness, because I'm sitting there, but I know that part from me, and I think it's the in my experience has been at the core of every man is this crisis of feeling allowed to go, I'm emotional. Because we've all had that, and I can't say it enough. Every guy listening in has had his unique versions of get the fuck up, you're being a girl. Stop being a fucking pussy crying. It's like you could have nearly your leg broken, and it's like, just get the fuck up, walk it off, dude. It's like, just fucking man up. And from our dads, then obviously our peers or best friends, other friends, dudes in the yard, it's outgunning each other to football coaches. And there's just this very natural, okay, So I'm never allowed to express that I'm emotional. Okay, cool. It's pretty all fucking pervasive. So I've had, and it's not just one dude that's telling me. They're all telling me. And it's like, wow, what an atom bomb of expression, of authenticity, of, and it's like, yeah, so I was like really fucking astoundingly constipated emotionally. I had this dude that said once, like, my queen is Italian, and he was like, he'd lived in Italy, and he was like, yeah, you know, one thing I found between living in Ireland and being in Italy is like Irish people are emotionally constipated, Italian people suffer from emotional diarrhea. And it was
I'm somewhere in the middle.
like, but I was definitely the emotionally constipated. It's like shame, you know. It's like, you know, first circle's going, okay, you dudes have a lot of shame. You know, it's like I was really like first, like astounding levels of persona going. It took me like a good few circles to go, okay, now I'm gonna open up. Okay, and I was like, I felt like this is fucking suicide. It's like, don't say it, don't say it. And that competitive part of me just realizes, like, okay, if ever your head, there's this if then I have, Chris. It's like, if I have a thought of saying something and a massive, or just any, a little bit of fear, if I have a thought of saying something and fear comes up, then I must say it. That's everything I
Absolutely.
do. Everything I do in parenting, everything I do in marriage, everything I do in men's circles with you guys, everything I do in my years of being a participant in men's circles, etc. It's like, if I have a fear of saying something, then it means my soul, my heart says you have to say it. Get the fuck over yourself and say it. I see you
And
nodding. Does that make sense to you in your
so
approach?
one of I had a high school coach tell me that if this happens, then you do this. And that stuck with me. If then, and I have brought that to all aspects of my life. I'm a youth basketball coach. I coach two different groups of kids. My older kids are all over the place. Well, they're balls of energy. I don't like to use the label ADD, ADHD. I don't like those labels.
It's fucking bullshit. You get me going passionately. They're
Yes.
healthy, thriving, fucking masculine beings. End of story. It's
Absolutely. And the things that we're doing in the men's circles before games, I start to see, like, listen, you guys are all over the place. Try this. Whether or not it works for you, great. Just try it. And 90% of the time, I can get everybody honed in, conscious, and ready to go.
Share with the guys, because clearly you've been sharing this in the circles. Share with the guys listening in. Like, what are some of the simple things that you
Breathing.
have done?
The biggest thing is breathing. Take a couple deep breaths. 5, 10 deep breaths takes 30 seconds, 40 seconds. I had the kids one day. I had them. We shake out all of our energy. From my little guys. That's an awesome thing. They're really all over the place. They're 6 and 7, and they're everywhere. One of the games, I seen everybody. They were high strung, yelling. It looked like their parents let them sniff sugar straws. I don't know what was going on. I came into the game. I was like, uh-oh, something's going on. Something's bad. And I had them just for 30 seconds. I set a timer and said, just jump around, move your whole body, move your fingertips. And then I want you to really think about every part of your body moving, your toes, the tips of your fingers. Try to wiggle your ears, wiggle your nose, open your eyes, close them, yell, scream, do whatever you have to do so that we can hone into this moment. And even going into conversations with my queen. It's like, I'll go in now. If I know that there's something going on, yeah, I know this is going to be a big one. If I go in this house and there's an argument, then, like you said, you pull your bootstraps up and go. It's go time. And I've really taken to that very well, I believe. And I mean, my queen has told me that. One of the things that I shared in the group was we set goals for the quarter, and mine was to get my anger under control 100%. Now I know 100% is shooting high, you know. And to hear my 11-year-old come to me and say, "Dad, you're doing it. You haven't argued in a week. You haven't argued. It's been 2 weeks. You're different on the court." And to hear that from an 11-year-old, if he sees that, whether or not my wife wanted to admit at that point, there's that competitiveness in our house all the way around. I'm not going to give you any of that satisfaction. And then I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, and then we have a conversation and she's like, "I'm proud of you." And my son going, "Wow, like, I'm excited when you come home."
Oh, man.
And that's all I was looking for.
Yeah.
You know, to hear those words from the people that matter the most to me in life is the penultimate championship for me. Mm-hmm. It means more than the Super Bowl. It means more than the NBA All-Star game. It means, you know, more than being president.
Yeah.
To hear those words from an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old to go, "Dad, we're proud of what you're doing." It's powerful.
Yeah. And it goes so far beyond the conditioning. Again, I like go back to role models. This profoundly sick society is like, you know, it's like you've got to have the big house, the big cars, that all the shit that, you know, so many guys, their heart and soul, great intentions. Again, 10 out of 10 intentionality. Every man listening in, doesn't matter how your marriage is, doesn't matter. It's like 10 out of 10 intentionality. That's what guys, we're doing our 10 out of 10 best. But like you said, what's the vision? And you're going for all of this shit that we've been bombarded with, like billions of messages of, you know, that's the guy, the success, the money, with the bod, with the thing. And it's like, you keep coming up short. And when like the real lottery, and it's unsexy as fuck compared to all that conditioning, the real lottery is your son, is your daughter. You know, being able to cry in your arms and get vulnerable with you, is able to go, "I'm safe with you, Dad. You know, you're not angry." I tear up when you say that, because I deeply traumatized our youngest kid. She goes, we're very trauma informed at this point. We talk about all of this shit like it's really open house at our table. Our youngest is 9. And she'd say, like, every now and then, she's like, "I'm the only fucking one of you that isn't traumatized. Jesus, like, you guys are so fucked up." It's like, I'm the only one that doesn't have any trauma. And yeah, I mean, technically she might have bits along the way, but she didn't take the full brunt that our eldest, like four and a half years in her, man, she was 4.5 years around my presence. And like you, that sharp tongue, that aggressive outburst, man, that did a lot. But my heart like wells up that I get that experience where I couldn't give a fuck about $1 million in the bank. My kid sharing her heart with me, man, that's a $10 billion lottery ticket. I if I had a choice, I'd rip up that fucking lottery ticket and I'll take that. I'll take somebody I love so deep going, yeah. Oh, that's immense work, man.
We actually had our heartbreaking season ending basketball game on Saturday, and my oldest son sent me a text message, and it I didn't realize the impact that I was having on all of the kids, but especially him, because he's seen the growth. Now, all of these other kids have only seen that persona, They've only seen, all right, that's coach. He comes in, we get to work, but to go home and just be sitting there and talking, and we had the end of the game, we lost, and to see his resilience after the game and send me it, just he went upstairs and my wife is like, hey, where's JJ's phone? And then all of a sudden I got a text message from him upstairs where he was by himself and just thanking me for everything this season and telling me the change that he's seen from the beginning of the season to the end. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. Nothing. It kept me up for 2 days. I was just like, go, like, all right, yeah.
What's that doing emotionally inside you as a man? Because I know every guy listening in, that whether we know it or not, we're all fucking gunning for that. Beyond the conditioning, again, I the distinction, we've been conditioned to believe shit, which ultimately it'll always come back to spend more fucking money. You know, it's like that drives it. We're economic. That's the conditioning, profoundly sick society. But there's an inner knowing. And every guy listening in, it's like there's an inner knowing in him going, yeah, actually, that having my son send me a text of pride with how far I've come, acknowledgement from my son, could be a daughter, my wife. What does that mean to you emotionally as a man? And I'm here visually, like you've teared up multiple times, man. I just fucking love this emotion. Like you're just this embodiment of beautiful, powerful, strong spine, soft front. What's the emotions that goes on inside of you? Like when you say, like for a few days, you're just lit up with this. What emotions does that unlock inside your heart and soul and nervous system? Just getting acknowledged from your son like that.
I felt whole. I felt a different type of love. I felt, and I still feel it to this day. I feel like I'm respected. I feel like everything that I've been missing for the last couple of years is starting to come back. It's something that I want to hold on to, and I want to share it now with everyone. You know, remember a comment when I first started. My wife goes, "Oh, you're going to join a cult? These are all going to be sitting around campfires and singing Kumbaya. What the fuck is this?" And last night it really hit me when she goes, "You got an accountability call at 9 o'clock. Go take care of that." And I was like, wow. Like, you're making the space and the time for me as I've been making the time and space for everyone else.
Yeah.
And seeing that is like, I can't even put it into words, because she is now realizing that I'm all in and we're doing it together. And you know, that immense love that I feel at home when I walk in the door, before it would just be the dog running up to me. Now my kids stop whatever they're doing, they come downstairs, "Oh, dad's home. Hey man, how was your day? What's going on? How you feeling?" And I'm able to reciprocate it to them, and especially for my queen. And this movement to me is about more than be the husband that she brags about. It's about being the man that everyone admires.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Amen to that. That is at the epicenter. When I did the marketing and stuff, And I used to hide away from marketing. It was like, that feels so crass and salesy. I just want to put whatever name on it. And I had Kings of Freedom, and like, which is actually at the Kings of Freedom for me is like, that was the initial name of the podcast. But it's that sacred entry level. Because like your queen, like my queen, every guy's queen, most of the times it's the queen's heart that is so sensitive that can go, hey, I just got to call you on your bullshit. So the entry point is my marriage is on fire. The entry point is there's too much pain at home. I can't fucking suffer this. And it's like, cool, be the husband she brags about. Heroic husbands. But it is so much bigger than that. It's, I don't know, it's like we've got a fucking heart and a soul. I just want that. That's the most important thing for me. And like when I sit with you, it's like, man, the tears coming up in you and all these men, it's like being a man is one of the greatest fucking beautiful gifts in this entire existence. There's like, I wouldn't rather be a fucking god. I wouldn't like be up in a fucking, like sitting on a cloud or whatever way it's depicted. This is the shit. For me, it's like that thing of like, you said it there, you know, that it's like the Super Bowl or like the winning shot, whatever it is, Michael Jordan, another fucking championship. That's really transitory stuff. I admire these guys. I actually really dig, you know, sporting. I think that I derive a ton of inspiration from them. But it's nothing compared to going, I have a fucking heart and a soul. And I'm here to express my love. And I'm here to fucking being like an embodiment of love. Every guy, it's just a permission thing. My experience with being Chris, like every guy just wants to hear that and go, okay, so it's not a cult. I don't have to like, let's take religious shit away from it. You can just be a dude and say shit like that and actually feel grounded. And like my experience has been every guy fucking softens in my presence when I just own that. It's like, yeah, I've known since I was fucking young, looking at the pain and suffering around me. I like there was a part of my soul that was always thinking, Chris, there's so much pain. It baffled me. I'm looking around like people I know and love, and then strangers, like they're always stressed. And I look back and I go, I still had that naivety, that simplicity of heart. And I didn't know part of the spiritual journey is like, yeah, you've got that naivety. You got to go into the dark night of the soul where you lose contact with that fucking flame inside of you almost completely, multiple times. Like, suicide seemed like a real good idea because I seemed to lose so much contact, but that flame just kept burning and it just got me back in the game. And it's like, man, to hear you now, I'm like, it's one brother that loves another. It's like hearing your words going, your kids, your basketball team, they're all being influenced by you, your queen going, yeah, like you're the man, fucking 2 months, get your ass on that accountability call. Oh man, it welts me up. That's the fucking movement. That is this movement. And yeah, I'm not overcome with emotion. I'm full of beautiful emotion. Actually, just total love for you right now. And just what you're embodying, man. It's like, it's beyond, it's, I don't know. I don't have words to say how deeply impressed I've been with how you've taken your meaning of the essence of this and you're taking it so far in such a short period of time. It's fucking beautiful.
And that's what it's all about, right? The perspective. I think you just put it a great way to give people who are listening that, okay, it's your perspective. You're going to come in to this thinking that this is whatever it might be. And people are going to tell you it's what they think it is. That's okay. That's all right. You know, to hear the other men in the group and just hear every week to go deep, really deep, and it be okay, no matter what your perspective is. I mean, like I said in the beginning, I was very nervous about the call. The initial call, and even up until, you know, 10 minutes before this call, I was like, oh man, where is this gonna go? You know, not being that stereotypical person. Not everybody can say, oh, I've been mentally, physically, and emotionally abusive. Coming to that truth and going, okay, that was who you were. It's not who you are today. And saying, all right, how do we move forward? Because it was very, very tough for me to even admit that. I didn't do that. I didn't say that. That wasn't my intention. That I was good for that one. That wasn't my, oh, knocked you over, but that wasn't my intention. You know, I'd say that to my son a lot. You could have 100. No, in that moment, that was your intention. Yeah. And that's what really got to me, where I was giving it my 10 out of 10 best with the tools that I had. Now I have different tools.
And Chris, coming into landing, because I know this is like a $1 million question for a lot of guys, and you have been speaking to, but I want to like get it really explicit. At the start of your journey with this, your queen had legal papers, documents that's slapped on your breakfast table. Where explicitly is she at now? Is she still dangling those papers in front of you, or where's your queen's heart at in such an insanely short period of time?
So 8 weeks ago, it was bad. It was very bad. Today, I can't wait to get home. She is loving. She's open. She was sleeping in another room. She left the house. We're back sleeping in the same bed, talking to each other. Everything is going where I aim it. My vision for my marriage is to be that, you know, Jay-Z, Beyonce type of marriage. You know, nothing can shake them. And that's where I feel we're at right now. Oh, not man. To say that we don't still have our issues, because we do. But knowing that I'm on solid footing now, I'm not in quicksand.
Yeah. Man, it's that mountain in the storm. The storms are there. They're always going to be there. I'm there with my queen. It's fucking storms. It's like the storms, I actually come to go, I fucking love the storm. It's like, oh, you're down in the I'm in mountain mode. My day just got interesting. It's like a game. It's like, I remember, I know you with basketball and sport. I think you mentioned earlier on it's go time. I didn't follow basketball, but I've great admiration for Michael Jordan, and then Kobe Bryant coming after him. And I listened to one interview with Kobe Bryant, and he was asked about one moment in his career. Maybe I've said this in the podcast, I forget. I talk a lot with guys live recording. I don't fucking... Repetition is mastery, if you guys have heard of it, me saying it a few times. But there was that moment in the interview where he said, and I think it was his first season in the NBA, he's been talking big talk. He's like the new Jordan. And he's like, you know, he's put the full pressure of the entire country on himself, the entire basketball world. And then he shoots 5 air balls. Most important game of that season, playoffs, whatever, forget what team, doesn't matter. It's like, it's the match of the year at that point. 5 air balls. He effectively loses the championship, the run for the Lakers. And the interviewer is like, how do you deal with that? You know, what do you deal? How, you know, like 5 air balls, everybody's looking at you, this reputation, you've been G-ing it up, you've been speaking, you're going to be the greatest in 5 air balls. And the simplicity was this. It was like, you know, man, sometimes you've just got to get the fuck over yourself. You're not that important. He's like, 5 air balls, I just broke it down. There were 5 perfectly precise online. He's like, I didn't have the strength in the arms. It was end of season, my first NBA. Before the NBA, it's half the intensity, half the physical load. First season NBA, I learned. The precision was perfect. It just didn't have the distance. I worked my ass off during the summer for to get strong. He's like, sometimes you've just got to get the fuck over yourself. And I love that you brought in that wording. It's like when you just get that as a man and go, I'm just going to get the fuck over myself, as you've done, your queen, your kids, everybody. It's masterful, man, to witness. Chris, coming into landing here, I just want this conversation to go on all day, but at some point, somebody in your workplace is going to knock on the door going, Chris, hey, dude, come on. My queen is going to be knocking. Come on, man. Coming into landing, brother. Guys are listening in. And the reason they're listening in is shit isn't going down so nicely in their marriage, clearly. But they're still on the fence. If you're sitting across the table with him at lunchtime and you're having a cup of coffee and he's still on the fence, he's like, oh, you can feel the conflict inside of him. He wants to. That's why he listens to the podcast. He'd love to, but there's still but in his nervous system. There's still a voice in his head going, yeah, but it might be for Chris, but not for me. What would you say to that guy?
Do you want to be rich or do you want to be right? Rich doesn't only mean money. I mean, 100% of the time, I'd rather be rich than right. So if you want to be rich, make the move. If you want to be right, keep doing the same shit and getting the same results because it's not working for you, buddy.
Period.
That's it.
That's it. Chris, brother, so much fucking love for you, man. I'm just noticing like the entirety of this call, the levels of sensitivity, emotionality, fucking strong spine, man. It's like this, like essence of masculinity, strong spine with this beautiful soft front. You're the embodiment of it. Like it's just immense to witness, an honor and a privilege, man. Thank you so much for coming on the call and doing the work that you're doing, man, and being a leader, being willing to put yourself, your heart, your soul, your story out there for other guys to gain inspiration from it. And there's going to be a lot of guys wanting, saying, I'm going to emulate Chris. I'm going to take him down. I'm going to do in 4 weeks what it took him 2 months to do and Mark 4 years to do. Thanks. Thank you for coming on, man.
I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. I love you, brother.
Love you, man. Every single king listening in, the masculine gauntlet has been put down to you by Chris there. In 2 exceptionally short months, it's off the fucking charts what he has achieved and continues to achieve. And with him setting that himself, his nervous system up, his relationships, his communication as a way of life, taking extreme ownership. He is now in that upward cycle of the infinite game with his queen responding open-heartedly in so many beautiful ways, his kids, his community, and with a brotherhood behind him of other powerful men, regular guys with a willingness to do irregular, deep inner work, and them all individually and collectively going places they never dreamed were possible until they took the 20 or 30 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever the fuck it is, I haven't taken the clock time off it, to get into the podcast description, click on the application call, make the call happen, and the infinite game of the heart of the soul becomes open to you. And yes, it is available to you. If it's available to Chris, it's been available to myself, Mark, and to every other guy that's in it. It is available to you. Time to get the fuck over yourself and start playing that game of the heart and the soul. You deserve it. Your queen deserves it. Your kids and the 7 generations after you. And that is the legacy you will leave this park with. Today's your day, man. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.